Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Huff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest in studio is Michael Alexander. Michael, a 30-year veteran as far as stand-up comedy goes. He's been performing, writing, producing, instructing, and he has a documentary about comedy coming out very, very, very soon called Laugh Till You're Winded, and that movie is not done yet. Hi, Michael. You're the bravest guy I know. You've got this film premiering that you've been working on for 3 years, and it's not done yet. And it premieres Wednesday.
It is.
What?
No, not Wednesday. No, it premieres Wednesday? On November 5th.
Oh, okay. Then you have plenty of time.
No, it's
no, you
it's
don't.
You're fine. It is 98.9% done.
You're close.
Yeah.
You're close.
Yeah,
but you're still shooting things.
I'm doing a re-interview with a comedian named Beth Stelling, who's really funny.
A writer.
Writer on Crashing and Netflix and everything else.
Yeah.
First interview was great, but I go the extra mile on this film, and so I wasn't satisfied with a couple of things aesthetically on it, so I'm flying to L.A. on Thursday just to go do a re-interview.
Wow.
And we're going to just cut it in quickly.
Wow.
Are you going to take a big, long vacation when this finally is finished?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, all this last-minute things.
For 3 years,
crazy.
Michael.
Yeah, this is my fifth trip. To LA. To
bouncing
interview.
Back and forth to talking to people?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
how many comics in all have you talked to for this documentary?
Probably 110
wow.
comedians, producers, writers. They're not all going to be in the film, unfortunately, though. Probably one third.
Yeah.
Is Bill still in it?
No. I'll be determining that depending on the quality of this interview.
Okay, we'll see how
this
interview goes.
You look great, by the way. You look fantastic.
Yeah,
you smell nice.
I smell nice?
Yeah. I'm not sucking up to keep myself in the movie.
Well,
I hope that's not what you're thinking.
In case you want to know my secret, it's Lever.
Are you using Lever
like
soap?
Lever 2000?
Yeah. I'm using the original Lever.
Oh.
I don't like the other fancy Levers.
You go with the unscented?
Yeah.
That's better.
I like the unscented. I don't like the Levers that they have like in a dish where you're not allowed to use them.
That's
those Levers. Those are fancy.
No. You made the right choice, Michael. You did.
So Wednesday, you're talking about the film doesn't have to be finished, but there is a fundraiser that's going on, correct? Is that what we're...
Wednesday at Zany's in Rosemont, we're doing a fundraiser for Laugh Till You're Winded, starring Hannibal Buress.
Nice.
And Erica Nicole Clark and Azhar. I always pronounce his name Usman. I think I butchered his name. I apologize for that. But it's a fantastic lineup.
Yeah.
Shout out to Hannibal Buress for doing this for me and for the film. He is absolutely one of Chicago's best and a person who has been very successful, who has not forgotten his roots.
Yeah. That's cool. I hate when people do that. I'm sorry. That's just rude and inconsiderate because we all have starts, you know?
Yeah, we do have beginnings. I've been at my beginning for 33 years. But when I on the 34th year...
Yeah. That's what it usually takes off.
Absolutely do stuff for people.
Good for you.
Did you think 30 plus years ago that all these years later you would still be doing this?
No, I didn't necessarily think I would have anything to do with stand-up 30 years later. No.
No?
No, not at all.
Where did you see yourself?
As a doctor?
In 30 years?
Yeah.
I really wanted to have maybe 11 kids, live somewhere like in Idaho and like a farm and not, ignore electricity and just live on love.
Oh,
wow,
what an idyllic situation.
Great.
I hope that happens for you at some point, Michael. That would be a wonderful way to live.
It would be boring.
In Idaho.
Absolutely.
When we have you on next time, will you bring us potatoes from the farm? That would mean the world to us.
I would definitely.
Oh,
I'll
so
probably
nice.
Ship them in because I would be detaching from society.
All right, take us back to the film for a second. It's about to premiere. I'm sure you're excited because 3 years into this, you just can't wait for people to finally see the finished product. Are you happy with it? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm happy
with
it. Yeah, absolutely.
It's too late if he's not.
Right.
Well, I gave a shout out to my editors, Third Beacon. They've been with me since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we've been very meticulous with this project. This project has a lot of politics involved in it. So it's just, a pretty difficult project just because I've had such a broad scope.
Yeah.
But, I'm happy with it.
Well, the storyline changed a little bit, right? As you went on with it, you had one thing in mind, kind of the history of stand-up comedy in Chicago, right? And then it morphed a little bit?
Well, really, it started out, it was supposed to be an 82-minute film about the history of Bill Huff.
Oh, about
in
me?
In Chicago.
God, who would see that?
And some
right.
people just said that they were worried about women fainting in the audience.
There would be some
wanting Bill's personal phone number.
Yes. And
so they thought we should cut in other people.
Plus, what do you do with the other 81 minutes? The first minute would be very exciting, and then it would just fall apart. But is it, like, what your original vision of this film being, does it come close to matching that or not?
No, it changed. You know, at first, I thought that I would probably be doing a film that would only depict the pre-boom, boom, and bust. You know, something that was just about us, our generation, yeah. Bill's generation and I. And then I just decided that I should widen the scope because I shouldn't ignore what has happened since 1993, basically, where the bust started, mm-hmm. you know, all the way up until now. There's been a lot of great comedians who have come out of Chicago who are still here, you know, over, what, let's say, 20-year period of time or more. Mm-hmm. I have bad math, sorry. And so I just thought that I would be doing the city a disservice, the stand-up community a disservice by just concentrating on just my peers.
When people hear you say boom and bust, explain, because those happened very quick to each other, very close to each other. What created the boom in stand-up comedy and what created the bust?
Well, you know, from what I know, I mean, with the boom, which just created, it's just people really honestly discovering stand-up comedy for the first time. I mean, it had been around for decades.
Yeah.
And when it started hitting, like, nightclubs and then one-nighters and then clubs started to open, it was like an experience unlike any other that people have had. So, you know, clubs popped up all over the country, all over the city. At one point, there were 23 rooms, I think, in the city and outside of the city. So, and then what happened is it got very oversaturated. Way too many comedy clubs. A lot of people say bad comedians. I think that was part of it as well. But just too many venues and too much stand-up on television. MTV had two shows about stand-up at one time.
It did happen that it was oversaturated. Mm-hmm. It sure seemed like
it. You know, yeah, we were just pretty much like a comedic Starbucks is what it came down to. And comedy is a very, you know, stand-up comedy is a very unique, specialized, you know, thing. And it shouldn't be for the masses necessarily, to be honest.
People think it's easy. I've never tried it. I would be scared to try it. You guys have done it. You can't just go up there and tell stories, you know? People think you can.
Well, you're allowed to.
Well, yeah.
But you shouldn't be.
Right, exactly. All right, good point.
But how many times did you hear this where somebody they'd go to a club and at that point it had been watered down. Like you weren't getting three professional stand-ups anymore. You were getting one or sometimes two. And then, you know, a local MC who was very new to it. And people in the audience would go, I just paid money and I'm funnier than that guy. What happened?
Oh, it got to the point where it'd be like a new talent and then the club owner who needed a lot of people and also wanted to save money.
Yeah.
And, you know, would ask a guy, how much time do you got? And he goes, well, I have 5 minutes. And you go, did you say 45 minutes?
Right.
Put you on stage. Yeah.
Yep. Michael Alexander's here. Michael has a benefit coming up this Wednesday at Zanies in Rosemont. For ticket information, zanies.com is the way to go.
Yeah, zanies.com.
Yeah. We'll continue this in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy. It's Bill Leff. It's Kwame Raoul. You're on WGN.
I'm Kwame Raoul.
You are not Kwame Raoul. Michael Alexander's here. Long time stand up. 30 years, 30 plus years. Michael, how many years?
30 plus years.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for raising my bar age by saying that. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. More than happy to. Take us back to the documentary for just a little bit. You call it, the title is?
Laugh Till You're Winded. T-I-L-L.
Because?
Why is it called Laugh Till You're Winded? Because it's the Windy City.
That's why.
And because we're in a crunch to think of a name.
Yeah.
Thank God you didn't use Chi-Town. Because no one from Chi-Town calls it Chi-Town.
No one calls it Chi-Town anymore.
Although there was a commercial I heard Friday on my way home where somebody was talking about Chi-Town, and I go, we don't call it that.
But there's a TV show called The Chi that Common is a producer on Showtime.
Oh, there is.
The Chi is better than Chi-Town.
That's a lot better.
Yes, I think so,
too. It's a lot better.
I don't love either of them, but if I'm going to settle, The Chi.
Right.
Chi? It should be
shu. No, the chai is a drink.
The
chai.
Right. It's a tea. It's some sort of tea. What is it about this city? There's a certain sense of humor that goes on in Chicago that I think is a Midwestern thing. It's not New York attitude. It's not Los Angeles attitude. It's our own. You know what I mean, though, by that, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's not slick like L.A. It's not as caustic as New York.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, kind of down to earth. But, yeah, you know, just, you know, honest opinions is what I can say. You know, I don't think Chicago comedians necessarily have a filter, which is good. So, you know.
Do you think that's why for so many years, it's not that way now, but forever, whoever was the host of a popular late-night talk show, mostly Johnny Carson, but you can look at everyone else of that era, they were almost always Midwesterners.
Yeah, you know? I think so, too. Well, just because I think people can relate to people from the Midwest better than they can from other cities.
Yeah.
Because we're genuine, we're real, we have hearts of gold,
don't
just like
think?
The wheat.
Yeah, similar to the wheat. We're wheat-like.
We're more corn, but I guess that's gold, too. Yeah. Maize, we call it maize.
Yeah, absolutely. the bigger stars that came out of Chicago, you talked to all of them for this documentary, didn't you?
I've talked to some, mostly writers and producers that we've had come out of here. But I have, definitely talked to some people who are in front of the camera. And so
name
there are a few
names.
People, like, I think we talked about it before. There are a few people I was not able to get, like an Arsenio Hall or a Craig Robinson, who's great, who I've known for years. Mm-hmm. And maybe a couple others. But other than that, I pretty much got, most of the people who are celebrated out of stand-up from here.
Why not Arsenio? I know you've had a working relationship with him for a while.
Is he from here?
From Cleveland, I think, but he did a lot of stand-up time here.
He bounced a check on me.
Did he?
The last show.
Did he really?
So, we haven't unfacebooked him, unfriended him.
That's because he needed to buy the Weather Channel, and he had no money. Oh, no, that's Byron Allen. I'm sorry.
Byron Allen has
he's
the
not
Channel.
In it, is he?
Byron Allen, no, he's not from here.
No.
So where is he from?
Another solar system. The weird thing about Arsenio Hall is, even though he's from Ohio originally, he really got his chops in Chicago, but he refused to recognize that. He didn't want to talk about that
ever.
Is
that true?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's a transplant. Like, a lot of comedians have come out of here, but they've done their time here and they launched out of here. And he made it because Nancy Wilson's manager discovered him and he opened for her, and then that helped launch his career. He worked at Comedy Cottage in Rosemont a lot and some of the other comedy clubs. But, yeah, he doesn't seem to recognize Chicago. But when I wrote for his first show, mm-hmm. and the day we went into the writers' meeting for the first time, he sat down in front of all of the writers and he talked about Chicago.
Did he?
Ted Holum and the Comedy Womb and all these other clubs that were open. So he absolutely recognized
oh,
it.
Oh, good.
Then. Yeah.
That's good. I know you don't want to go into this extensively because you almost had to be in the business to appreciate it, but there was something of a comedy war for a while with two guys that started out together, Ed Hellenbrand and Jay Burke. They were two guys that were partners, and then when they split off, they created sort of a comedy war, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about that, too. I didn't go deep into it with Jay Burke, which I wish I would have, but we have comedians' opinions about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a splinter. And the funny thing is, it was the Comedy Cottage in Rosemont, and big Ed Hillenbrand was the owner. He gave the reins to a gentleman named Jay Burke, and he moved to Las Vegas and pretty much had him send the profits. And then there was some dispute about the lease, and there was a big court battle, which is you can see online. But in the end, Big Ed got to retain the name, the Comedy Cottage, but Jay Burke got to keep the club, the physical property of the club. He renamed the club the Last Laugh.
Mm-hmm. L-A-F-F?
Because he had the last laugh on his old partner.
Yeah, and you know, and what I like about that is it wasn't a petty move whatsoever.
Not at all. Not at all. But there was like this weird bitterness, like if you'd bring up the name of one to the other, you could just see them, the veins would start to pop in their foreheads and stuff. They did not get along.
Yeah, they took it personally.
Yeah, very, very personally.
I can't wait to see this, Michael. I'm really looking forward to it. All the people that got their start, and a lot of comics go on, as you mentioned, to write shows because they're great writers. They wrote for themselves all this time. They know how to write funny.
Oh, absolutely. Look, we have people like John Rigi, who's executive producer, co-executive producer of 30 Rock, Greg Liana, who wrote Meet the Parents, just on and on and on. Ali Leroy, who co-created Everyone Hates Chris, mm-hmm. Lance Crowther, who was a producer on the Chris Rock Show, and he was Pootie Tang.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So many, many writers and many producers that that we interviewed. And, I mean, that really is the core of what this film is about. It's about talent that has come out of Chicago that has not been recognized and that is still undiscovered.
Yeah, yeah. And Saturday Night Live owes a lot, certainly, to both our improv scene and our stand-up scene. There's no question about it. I know the last thing you want to do is give away free tickets to this big benefit that's going on Wednesday. But Michael, I don't care. I say we're giving some away. Are you?
This is for the screening. This is for the premiere. Yeah, we can't give away anything for the benefit because it's a benefit.
Right, you're trying to make money.
Let's do it for the premiere. Is that fair?
Can we just say though? So the benefit is this Wednesday at Zany's in Rosemont, and Hannibal Buress will be there.
Yes, he's the headliner.
And where do we get tickets for that?
You go to Zany's.com. or Zany's Rosemont.com, and you can get tickets. It's an amazing show. If I were you, I would get tickets pretty soon.
They're almost gone.
Pretty close to sold out. All pretty right. close.
Get those tickets now at Zany's.com, and we'll give away two pairs of tickets to the premiere. You pick two numbers at random. Not too high numbers.
Under 10.
Under 10.
Yes.
Pick them out.
Two numbers under 10. About 7? And 4.
Nope, I was thinking of different numbers. 7 and 4, 312-981-7200. Be caller number 4 or caller number 7.
And we'll announce who they are. A pair of tickets to the premiere of Laugh Till You're Winded. When are we thinking this is going to happen? Do you have a date set for that?
Oh, we have a definite date. November 5th at Zany's on Wells.
Monday night?
Monday night, 8 o'clock show.
Putting it in my calendar.
I can't wait to finally see it. I know you feel the same.
Yeah, I can't wait to be done with it. It's a labor of love.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And,
but the gestation period has taken a lot longer than you had anticipated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's time for a separation.
Yes, absolutely.
Congratulations.
Michael, great to see you.
Thank you, guys.
That's Michael Alexander. Call now. We'll announce those winners next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.